Cool. I haven't clapped for a podcast in a long time.
Hell yeah, bring it back, the tradition.
Return.
I should probably introduce us. I don't have any. I took notes on the music we listened to. Uh-huh. I didn't
well, that's what's important.
Do anything fancy.
Well, you but don't hey, everybody. Host, I guess, right? You don't know how to do
No, I don't. I mean, Cameron and I, we do like some dumb cold open shit and see how long we can go without saying the name of the show.
Right.
Which is sometimes like 50 minutes.
That's impressive. 50 minutes is, that's like most of an episode.
I know, at the very end, it's like, it was Opinions Are Cheap with Cameron and Chad. What's the glad space?
Just, you've been listening to Opinions Are Cheap with Cameron and Chad, just as the outro, first time they hear the name of the podcast.
It's our M. Night Shyamalan twist every once in a while.
The twist is that you're listening to the podcast that you know you've been listening to the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a great twist, but not all his twists are great either.
That's true. That's true. I kind of like the wave he's been on recently, where his last couple movies just haven't had major twists, and yeah, I'm kind of vibing with it.
That stays consistent, right? Because I like the trailer for the movie coming out.
Trap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
like that looks cool.
I agree. That movie looks awesome. And I saw some people hypothesizing online that like, oh, the twist is going to be that he actually has to kidnap these people because his daughter's like a vampire or something, and he's doing it so that she can eat them. And I saw somebody post that and be like, I think I like 100% nailed it and figured it out. And I read that and I'm like, I really hope that that is not in the movie. I mean, if he pulls it off, I can see it being cool, but I love just conceptually the like sting operation at a Taylor Swift concert. I think is a great, great, great concept for a movie. So I'm 100% yeah. with you. I hope he plays it straight.
I mean, there's a certain level of like From Dusk Till Dawn is a very fun movie because all of a sudden there are vampires. But I've also met just as many people who hate that movie as like it because all of a sudden there are vampires. So it's, you know, a delicate twist.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that's true of a lot of twists, right? If you handle it right, a lot of twists feel really good. I mean, I think something like Signs, to stay with the M. Night, to stay on the M. Night movies, people like the twist in that, but some of his other stuff, maybe not so much. I'm trying to think of like a hated M. Night twist. And I don't know. I mean,
Devil was pretty bad.
Which one?
The where they're stuck in the elevator.
Which one is that? I don't think I've seen that one.
I want to say that was called Devil, and they know the devil was afoot because someone flipped a piece of toast and it landed like jelly side up, which is my favorite thing in a movie ever.
What? Because
it's really stupid. But there was a...
Okay, so this is an M. Night script. He didn't direct it, but okay, interesting. I've never heard of this movie.
Yeah, I want to say the twist was that like someone trapped in the elevator with someone else. They actually had a relationship that involved like a hit and run with a car or something, and he had to like confess, and then the devil went away. Oh. And it was really dumb. The whole movie is just pants. It's really stupid.
Okay, yeah.
But I kind of appreciate it for how like boldly stupid elements are.
I mean, sometimes there's room for that in horror movies, right? You sometimes want a really fucking dumb horror movie. I don't know if this is exactly. a horror movie. Maybe this is more of like a thriller, like a suspense thriller or something.
I think it was more of a suspense thriller. It was just hard to take seriously. What was the one where they were running from the wind? And it was like, like people just started committing suicide. And it turns out it was like Mother Nature in the wind, like as mad at humans.
Yeah. The Happening. Yes, The Happening. I like The Happening, but I haven't seen it in a long time.
It's been ages.
I think the one that people go back to as like the hated M. Night twist is it The Village? That's the one where they're all dead at the end. That's like the or is that the Sixth Sense? I haven't seen that one. I think it's The Village. I'm pretty sure that's The Village. I haven't seen like his early movies. I haven't seen in a while, but you know his recent output has been pretty strong. I don't care for like I like Unbreakable, but I don't care for the other like superhero stuff he did, but. The Visit, Old, and Knock at the Cabin have all been extremely, extremely good. So I'm very excited for Trap.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like that we turned this into an M. Night podcast. We talked about movies for 10 minutes. This is very comics podcast vibes of we come in with a very with, you know, we're talking about something specific and then we talk about something else for half the podcast.
You know, I like that the tradition lives, but
yeah,
I suppose. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Warrior Chats, which is a kind of our side hustle on Opinions Are Cheap that I do with my friends, typically Emily, but now today we have Jean-Luc on. We've had other people on before, and we talk about stuff, and there's not a lot of, I mean, ostensibly, you're supposed to talk about Warrior Cats, but we're not doing that today. Today we're talking about heavy music.
I would read a Warrior Cats book, though. I would be willing to throw my hat in the ring to read one Warrior Cats book.
Oh, I thought that too until I read the first two chapters of one and was like, fuck no, I ain't going through the rest of this.
All right. Well, sorry, just hope Emily doesn't listen to this and hold me to that.
I promise not to message her that you said that. But we've kind of had this idea together, floating back and forth for a while. It's like, Jean-Luc, we should just each nominate three of like the heaviest songs we can think of, make a playlist, listen to some fucked up death metal, and then talk about it for like 45 to 50 minutes. Cause that would be really fun. And yeah, that is what we did.
We did do that. We made a song. We made a playlist of six heavy metal songs. Well, we each, yeah, like you said, we each put forth three and put them on a playlist. And I don't know how many times you've listened to them, but I've, you know, gone through it probably six or seven times in the last couple days since we sort of settled on the final six. And, you know, I've really enjoyed myself.
Yeah, I've only listened to it twice. I was going to just do twice. Like, I was going to, like, one I take notes, and then one I listen to it with my good headphones and take notes, some more notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was at work today, and I was doing something annoying. We got this laser coming in, and it's got all these blower systems, and I got to figure out where they go so we can run ductwork and all this shit. And I'm like, I need something that matches the mood for how annoying this task is. And so I threw on playlist, and I was just like, you know what? Gojira and Cannibal Corpse. Fuck yeah, let's do some blower system math while we listen to this.
I do love that, you know, anytime you're just like, anytime I like experience the mildest annoyance at work, I do the same thing. I'm like, yeah, I'll fucking throw on a cattle decapitation record and you know, maybe about halfway through I'll start feeling better. And
yeah,
it mostly works. I don't know if it's healthy, but it's worked for me so far.
Yeah, I mean, like, I listen sometimes if I'm in a really foul mood, like I might just leave early and go home and cry kind of mood at work. I'll throw on Meth Witch, and I know is not healthy music.
Oh, dude, no, but that Meth Witch album from, oh god, was it two or three years ago now? That album is incredible. Like, I can't listen to it on anything resembling like a consistent basis. But every once in a while, I'll like be listening to a metal playlist, and I have Sever on one of my metal playlists, and it'll just come on. And when I'm in the mood and that track hits, I'm like, oh my god, I have to go listen to the whole album. And it's phenomenal. It's kind of like, what was that album that came out last year that you record? Is it Nithing is the band?
Yeah.
That did something. It's not even exactly the same sound, but it's the same thing. That's just like totally abrasive. And I fucking love stuff like that. Even if, you know, obviously you can't listen to it all the time. And it's not even stuff that I would think of for like what we were doing for this show. Like, no. it's a totally different vibe. But man, yeah, I definitely can empathize with the go home and cry and listen to Meth Witch vibe. That's definitely a real thing.
You know, it's the cheap person's therapy. You don't want to go to therapy. You can't afford a therapist, but you have grindcore.
Oh yeah, you can always throw on like Prowler in the Yard or something. If you know, that's what I used to do in high school when I got really mad. Was I would listen to fucking Pig Destroyer.
There you go.
I actually would say now I like Pig Destroyer more than I did back then. Like back then I was into heavy music, but not as much. But it was one of those cathartic things where it's like, I'm not in middle school anymore. It feels a little cringe to listen to Slipknot when I'm in my feelings. So I would listen to fucking Prowler in the Yard and, you know, just...
I'm gonna show my age. When I was in middle school and upset, I used to listen to Eminem. And let's I was like, go. Yeah, this guy. And it's like, of course this guy doesn't get me. Like, what in the fuck? But you know, you have there's the anger there, and I think you make a contact with that and call it good.
It's funny you say that though, because when I listened to Eminem in like middle and high school, it was never like angry music. It was always like, this guy's kind of funny. It was like goofball music and not that I didn't think it was like serious music or whatever, insofar as you can have like real thoughts about music when you're 13. But even back then I would listen to like Real Slim Shady or whatever, and it's like, God, this is so funny. it's just a different experience.
I was on the cusp of like the gangster rap thing, right? Like that, Dr. Dre, sure, and Eminem and Snoop, and like these were the new things parents were afraid of when I was in middle school.
Sure, yeah.
And so of course, I think I might have been in elementary school. I was fifth grade. But of course, it's like, oh, I want to get a hold of these. And so like if I'm listening to Sugar Ray, that's because it's like funny, stupid, abrasive like rock music that I'm probably not supposed to listen to either. But like no one cares because it's bad. But yeah, then you get a hold of Dr. Dre or Eminem where they're talking about, you know, committing crimes and doing drugs. I don't know what any of these drugs are. I'm in fifth grade. I'm just like, oh, you're gonna do the chronic, white little Chad, you know.
I can see it now, like 11-year-old Chad thinking about the chronic in, you know, upstate Wisconsin or whatever.
Because I remember, God, getting a hold of those CDs was all because my parents didn't want me to have them. They didn't care too much about certain bands, but like those ones were like, I don't know about that. And so you'd have to find someone at school with a CD burner and then pay like an upcharge of like $3 to get them to burn you this 128 megabyte version.
God, see, you really, to me, you really are showing your age there, because by the time I was like in late elementary and middle school, I was like pirating everything music already. Like, I was already going on to like kickasstorrents.com. Like I had uTorrent installed on my computer. I like anything I wanted. There was no need for CDs or anything for me. So I could just get whatever I could listen to whatever the fuck I wanted to. And like I had YouTube and stuff too, but I was kind of I was really stupid about YouTube. People used to always be like, oh, I listen to all my music on YouTube. And I was like, how do you do that? And then I would go home and pirate it and torrent shit.
So. Sure. So heavy music, because we just got derailed again for another 10 minutes, which is great.
I was going to transition, but yeah, go for it.
So the goal here was sonically heavy, just like I wasn't caring about lyrics, because I feel like there are Linkin Park and pop songs that are like lyrically heavier than any of the things we've nominated. But I wanted just that, like the guitar, the drums, the screams, like that. There's a certain combination when they hit, you're just like, fucking hell, I can just feel this music like it's a weight. And I was like, what are some songs that you can't deny that they are heavy as shit? And so these are the ones we threw up and put together. I don't know which one you want to start with.
I don't have a preference. I mean, I have them in an order. I have them in an order in my playlist, but it's not a specific order, but wherever you want to start, I'm down for.
So I'll start with Gojira Adoration for None, which is the first song in my playlist. And also the first song I knew going in that like this is going to be in this, because I have like emotional attachment to Gojira. Like the first like proper like death metal song I heard, I think, was this song. And I mean, this is tech death, but you know, it's in the vicinity.
Intro.
Because back then, I thought I listened to heavy music. I was like, man, I fucking love that Five Finger Death Punch. Those guys go hard. Like, how can you get heavier than like them and Nonpoint? And then someone's like, oh, you should listen to Gojira, you know, the Adoration for None, but then the rest of the album. And I was like, oh my God, I was so wrong. It gets so much heavier.
It really does. I had a similar experience, although not with anything on this playlist, but I was definitely there. And actually, it's kind of fitting because Gojira was one of the metal bands that I got into in high school. Like, pretty early on, I feel like, for whatever reason, they were one that had, like, name recognition in, like, the early 2010s. And so, when I would just go, like, Google, like, best metal bands or best death metal bands, like, Gojira was one that would come up. And, you know, Lamb of God as well, of course, because, you know, Randy Bly is on this song. But, yeah, like, this song is fucking incredible. I like The Way of All Flesh. I think if you pressed me for like a top 10 metal albums of all time, this would probably be on there. But this song fucking rules. It, like, there's a really cool contrast going on here between, it is Randy Bly, right? The Lamb of God guy.
Yes.
I'm getting his name right. Okay. Between like his vocals and Joe's vocals from Gojira, where he's got like the like really guttural roars that you think of as being like very traditional death metal. And Joe's voice, his register is a little different. It's like this, he kind of has this soaring effect when he sings. It kind of soars over the music, even though he's still doing the like sort of rough like death metal roars. And that's like really Joe's cool. Got
a little bit of pitch to his screaming. And so he fits in the song differently, where Randy's very no pitch. He's just kind of pure distortion.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's see, you're way smarter about this stuff than I am. I'm just like vibes based, and you actually like, you know your shit. So it's always fun to talk to you about it for that reason.
I can tell you they're both Fry based vocalists and not false chord. Which
I'll pretend I know what that means.
It's just like how the distortion is generated. There's okay. A lot of like back and forth, at least there was, on which is better. And ultimately what this shows is that both types of way you generate distortion have a shitload of range, and you can do a lot of different stuff with them. So it's all about like how comfortable is your body making these noises. You follow your comfort. So I like that Randy and Joe really showcase that. No, you can get really fucking brutal with distortion that like certain death metal and deathcore groups are like, no, that Fry is stupid. You got to use the false chord stuff. And it's like, no. It's all the same. It's fine.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I like that. I like getting that kind of background. The interim metal genre feuding is always fun.
There's so much of it.
I bet. I have my own hangups about some stuff, but obviously don't need to get into that. I do think this song has a really killer bass line. There's a couple moments where it's something that with a lot of heavy music, you hear the drums and the like lead guitar a lot. And I mean, this is like all like blast beats and the riff is sick as fuck. But there's a couple moments where you can really hear the bass line, like right after the first chorus, in between like the first chorus and the second verse. It has this moment where it gets a little quiet and you can hear the bass line, and it's really sick. I like that effect. I also like how I think the sort of the outro, the sort of like breakdown is a little bit long, but I really like the lead into it. I mean, we're probably going to talk about this with like every song on here, but the sort of like, you know, start off really loud, get a little quiet, and then, oh my God, it's loud again. Like it's obviously the oldest trick in the book, but when a song does that to you, it's just, you know, you just, I don't know about you, but I just go crazy when a song does that to me. It's like, oh my God, so exciting.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a certain like roller coaster element to the progression of this song that
absolutely
you kind of expect it, but you're on a roller coaster. You know what to expect, and it's awesome. So who gives a shit, you know?
Yeah.
I do think the outro is a little long in the tooth. I tried to do a cover of this, or was going to, and I was like, I would have to chop the outro off because it'd just be me standing around like a dickhead for 2 minutes.
I mean, it sounds cool, and there's a moment where like the vocals come back in for a couple seconds, and I wish there was a little more of that. But yeah, I agree that it's a little long, especially since it's essentially just a fade out. A couple of the other songs on here also do fade outs, but they're much more like, they're much quicker, and this sort of, you know, it takes 90 seconds to fade out. So, but like the thing is with this song, like that's like my only gripe with it. Like this song is a fucking banger. It's really good.
But I think in the context of an album too, it works better because it kind of gives you a slowdown, you know, that next song then hits even harder because you've had time to relax a bit. So progression. What do you want to do next?
Well, I guess we can just sort of bounce back and forth. Let's talk about cattle decapitation.
Good old cattle decap.
Yeah. The one of my songs that I picked for this is We Eat Our Young, which is on Terracite, which came out last year, which is a fucking phenomenal album. And yeah, I know you're not like the biggest Cattle Decap fan, but I when we started talking about this, I knew that I had to, like, I knew that they were going to be one of the bands that I was going to choose a song from, just because a lot of their stuff I think is very heavy, and this song especially just it kind of just like pummels you. Like, it just opens on this huge scream, and I love it when songs do that. It just opens on this huge scream and then just beats you up. Like, it just blast beats and this fucking sick riff. And Travis has this, you know, obviously his like crazy, like gremlin vocal style comes in here and there. And it just like hits you and hits you and hits you. And then it slows down for a bit. And it just ends with this huge, like soaring repeat of "We eat our young, we eat our young, we eat our," and it's so like that, the way that it goes out, like that is the kind of outro that, like, when it gets to that point, if I wasn't aware of the negative effects of tinnitus, every time I listen to this song I would just blast it at max volume for those last like 20 seconds or whatever where they're that, just because it has that effect. And seeing it live is that exact same effect too, right? Of just like, holy shit.
I bet the pit goes nuts.
Oh, yeah. This song, when I saw them in December, this was one of the songs that was like just a bonkers pit. It was a lot of fun to be in for those last like 30 seconds of the song. It was so sweet.
I like Cattle Decapitation in kind of smaller doses, and that's a running theme with some of this kind of music, where I like it for a bit, but it doesn't always hold me for an album. And so when you have like 55 minutes of this, I'm like, God, that's asking a lot. Cause like, this music is fucking relentless and it never stops. And it's like, you're listening to a goddamn storm and you don't know what's going on. And the only saving grace is like, if there's still a beat in there, like there is a 4/4 beat somewhere in the background, either with the drums or the bass. And so you can headbang on time with it, even though nothing sounds like it's really in a time signature. It's absolutely nuts.
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting point, too, because it is so. And I'm not that way. Like, I could listen to Terracite, you know, over and over. It was probably one of my most listened to albums last year. But you're absolutely right about, like, it is disorienting music to listen to, you know, it like. There's just so much, and there's just so much going on. And yeah, it is that point about having the like 4/4 beat and just somewhere in there to anchor you is so important, right? Because you can definitely see this being very easy to just lose. Like, I can see why you have the experience listening to Cattle Decapitation that you do, right? Because it's it is very overwhelming music.
I think the difference between what Cattle Decap does and like Methwitch or Nithing is that they do have that rhythm in the background you can latch onto, where the other two groups are like really not concerned with that, because they want you to like physically kind of feel upset when you listen to their music.
Yes.
And I think Cattle Decap wants you to have a bit of fun while you're feeling upset.
Yes. And Cattle Decap, to an extent, also I think is somewhat concerned with you being able to, like, I think it's the thing with like Methwitch and Nithing is they're just going for what they're going for is very atmospheric. Mm-hmm. And like it is trying to be it is music that I think is intentionally trying to be confrontational. And Cattle Decapitation is trying to be confrontational, but part of what how they're trying to be confrontational is like in their lyricism. And so they kind of want you to pay attention to that like a little bit.
Yeah.
And so there is a sort of like, okay, we need people to be able to parse like what we're singing about, because that is like such a big part of the band that, like, you know, their songs are, and I mean, they're not subtle about it, but like this song is about, you know, how he's never going to have, he doesn't want to have kids because like all humans do is fucking ravage the earth and destroy it. And we're, you know, wrecking it with climate change. And it's like, you know, are there more subtle ways to do that than screaming "We eat our young" 8 times? Well, there's a, you know, sick guitar riff and blast beats going under it, probably. But why would you want that? It's way more fun this way.
Exactly. And I was actually going to say that Travis Ryan is, he's a remarkable vocalist for a lot of reasons, but he's very good at enunciating pretty much every word in his songs.
Because,
like you said, he has a message to these and he wants you to be able to understand them. And God bless the audio engineer for somehow making all of this work, and you can still like make him out enough, but he's not like over, you know, drowning out over the mix like a pop song might.
Yeah.
I have no idea like what magic goes into producing a Cattle Decapitation song, but it's probably of the black magic variety.
I mean, it's some really sick stuff. I like when you think about it from a production standpoint. Yeah, it is incredibly impressive what they're able to pull off. So
I really enjoyed listening to this song in this playlist.
I'm glad.
And I think all of these songs, and maybe we can touch on this later, but they all hit like the concept of like heavy as balls music, but just a little differently. Like this is a weirdly varied playlist, despite being like in the pocket of a specific like genre of music.
It is like, and like all of these songs like have, you know, blast beats and breakdowns and like, well, they don't all have breakdowns, but most of them have, I would say like a good, most of them, over half of them have breakdowns and like, you know, death roars and stuff. But yeah, like it is a testament to the fact that you can do a lot of different stuff with those tools, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they're all working from that same toolbox, but they, you know, they're doing very different things with them. In some cases, I mean, some of these are more, you know, one of my picks, and which we'll get to, I think is very standard like death metal song, but you know, your other two picks especially, there's some like pretty sick stuff going on in both of those, I think.
Yeah, I guess we'll use that to, my second song is Black Tongue, Second Death.
Oh dude.
To me, this is like one of the heaviest albums I have ever listened to is Nadir. And this song is my favorite on it. I think because it's kind of catchy. And I actually tried to do I did this at Furry Karaoke in VR chat. And it was kind of a shit show because I hadn't practiced it much. And the video I was using with the lyrics on it, where the lyrics are really small and I couldn't read most of them. And I it was like, oh God, I just realized I don't know this song very well, and I can't crutch on when the lyrics start and stop because this is not an official karaoke version of this.
Oh man.
Oh no. And I butchered it to shit, but no one really cared because no one had heard the song before.
Yeah, you know, you're not doing poker face, right? Like,
right.
You can fuck around with, you can take some creative license when you're doing kind of obscure death metal stuff.
But like structurally, this song, it feels like if you took the breakdown to a song and just made it like 4 minutes, but then added like another breakdown within the breakdown, like it's so just kind of doomy at first, like boom, 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 and you're like, oh God, hell yeah, and I love this, and then it just goes from there and it gets crazy. I remember,
go ahead,
seeing a guitar playthrough of this. That someone did that was really cool because he showed his guitar really well, and so I sent it to my dad who plays guitar, and I was like, oh, you should learn how to play this riff, it's neat. And the guy on the guitar cover said he had to like pitch shift his guitar tone down 2 octaves to hit the tone of this song.
Oh yeah, yeah, this song is so sick. I said this to you in DMs already, but I haven't listened to this whole album yet because I just kind of wanted to talk about the song independent of the album, but I'm going to be listening to this whole album all the way through because I was not familiar with Black Death previously, like, and this song just was incredible. I love the intro. Like, I love his vocals sort of coming in below the instrumentation a little bit. And
yeah,
it's almost like, it's so close to being spoken word, and part of it is just like that he is just, it feels like he is just like pile driving straight through irrespective of what the music is doing. And it creates this really cool effect where there's this dissonance between the rhythm of the guitars and the drums and him just monotoning through what he's saying at the beginning. And then later it changes, and it's the more like what you when you think of like the guitars are doing something and the vocals are kind of matching what the guitars are doing or what the drums are doing or whatever. But it's such a cool effect in the first, like, I don't know, 30 or 45 seconds of the song. And then, yeah, like you said, it just feels like an extended breakdown after that. This song is really sick. And it is just like dour and just runs you over. It's awesome. I love this song.
Yeah, the whole album is just like, it's just relentlessly bitter and mad. And like, there's like this disdain, largely directed at God, because it is like a concept album. But I don't know, just the emotion in it is crazy. And I know like death metal is really big on like, hey, we're really angry and pissed off. But this, like the way Alex Trahan like delivers these, it's like there's more to just being angry and pissed off though. Like there's a lot more complicated emotions in his voice than just the standard that we're used to hearing.
There's an anguish, I think, to it that is comes across really strongly. And then there's also that moment where during the breakdown towards the end of the song where there's like that vocalizing that comes in, and it's kind of like whispers. You can't really hear what they're saying. It's like, that's a really cool effect as well. It's a cool fucking song.
Yeah, I love this song a lot. It's one that I actually want to do a proper cover of at some point, just because it's like,
dude, you should.
It's super fun. You get that like theatric stuff in the beginning that he does. You know, it's really hard to do that though. Like you definitely have to be a proper like artist and vocalist to get that down, because if you can't sell it, you just sound really stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But he sells it extremely well.
Oh yeah.
And I think you could too, if with enough practice, you know. But yes, like there's definitely versions of this that are way, you know, goofier. Which isn't always a bad thing, but like, yeah, there's definitely times where you listen to someone doing that doing what he's doing here, and it just comes across as being a little silly. But this just like, it's just locked in, like everything, like it just flows perfectly. It's a great song.
Let's move on to your next one, Cannibal Corpse, Scourge of Iron.
Sure, Scourge of Iron.
Hell, yeah. Like, what's a heavy playlist without Cannibal Corpse, right? Like, I'm glad someone put it on there.
That was kind of my thinking with it. Cannibal Corpse is another one where I was like, I'm going to put a Cannibal Corpse song on here. And it was tough to narrow it down to one. There were a couple others that were in my mind as well. But I feel like Scourge of Iron is just such a prototypical, like perfect death metal track that it just fits the bill so well. Like, are there Cannibal Corpse songs that are like a little heavier? Maybe. Like, are there Cannibal Corpse songs I like a little more? Well, actually, there probably are a couple that I would if I really sat down and thought about it. But this is just like pure distilled death metal, right? It is like, hit you with this like really fat, like we do this really like up tempo thing at the beginning, then just hit you with this riff, and we just keep this riff just repeats over and over. Bring in fucking Corpse Grinder. This is actually one of my favorite Corpse Grinder vocal performances. I think that he's one of those guys who, just because of the lyrics of Cannibal Corpse songs, can sometimes come across a little silly. And sometimes it's fun. Like, I don't always mind it. Like, sometimes you listen to a Cannibal Corpse song and you're like, God, this is so cartoonish, but it to the point where it's funny. But, you know, this is just like, he is just so, he feels so like assured in this track, and it is just like matter of fact and pointed, and it just goes like that for 5 minutes. And it's got this sick solo in there too, but other than that, it is basically just like we got this sick riff, we got, you know, these lyrics about people being tortured in hell for all of eternity. We've got this awesome drum line in the back, like just throw those things on and you just listen to it and you're like, man, I could go for another 5 minutes with this song. You know, it really is one of those that is just kind of, to me, it's like one of those songs is kind of addictive to listen to. This whole album is great too. Like Torture is probably my favorite Cannibal Corpse record, but this song is a real standout for sure.
Yeah. I'll have to check the album out. I don't listen to a lot of Cannibal Corpse. I think part of it is they have like really distinct eras, And
yes,
as times have gone on, like the way music is produced is quite a bit different than like when this came out, because this is an older album,
2012. Yeah,
and so this isn't, it's not as clean like it, like New Cannibal Corpse. Yeah, it's like big and bombastic, but there's something about it that just, it's too like crystal. And it's like, yes, I don't want my death metal to be crystalline. I want my death metal to be fucked up and have like oil spills on it or something. Like it needs to be kind of gross.
Yeah, no, that I think you nailed it. Absolutely. There's like, this is definitely, it doesn't sound like, oh, we recorded this in our garage, that some of the really early Cannibal Corpse albums kind of sound like.
Mm-hmm.
But it absolutely has like just enough of a level of like grunge to it that it can sell you as being like a serious metal album. Whereas like, yeah, like Evisceration Play, or that's not what the album's called. That's a song on the album, but like but yeah, like the last couple Cannibal Corpse albums, you know, I like them. I liked Violence Unimagined. I like Chaos Horrific, but yeah, like they don't sell you as well on what they're doing like they do here. And that's a really good, interesting point. I think for heavy music in particular, you, like you said, you want it to be a little fucked up.
Yeah. I got a couple of things to say about the song that I think are really cool. One, going the riff, as you mentioned, is it's just perfect. It's so good. It's like heavy, but it's fun. It's bouncy. Mm-hmm. You can just keep listening to it.
You can dance to it, and not like just mosh, but like dance to it. Yeah.
But then what's great about like this kind of death metal is it's so rhythmic. And so like the vocals kick in, but the vocals aren't there to really steal your attention. They're just there to be another rhythm on top of the rhythm. And so it's almost like everything is just drums at a certain point. Just to, you know, the guitar is a drum, the vocals are a drum, the drums are drum, the bass is there probably. It's death metal, so it's usually just the guitar riff, but on a bass. And it works really well. Like it hits this pocket and you kind of just vibe, but it's droning. And so like you're vibing at like half speed and you're like, damn, this is heavy. And yeah, then no, that's vocally, too,
that's the way of putting it.
I love that, like, some of the examples on this list, you know, like Cattle Decap and Black Tongue, they have a lot of, like, acrobatics to their vocals, and they can do a lot of different techniques and make a lot of different sounds. And in Corpse Grinder, is just like, man, I make the death metal sound, and that's all I'm really going to do, and you know what? We don't need to do anything else, and it's great.
No, there really is something about Cattle Decapitation in particular, where in the Corpse Grinder era, they really perfected, like, we just know how to make the best death metal album you've ever heard. And they just do that, you know? And like, okay, sure, do I think that it's cooler when people are doing techier stuff or like proggier stuff? Like, yeah, I think there are bands with way more compelling or interesting discographies. But yeah, like sometimes you just can't say no to like 12 just distilled. This is perfect death metal. Like this is peak death metal. And it's really cool that like for a genre that does not have, you know, a ton of popularity, that there is a band out there who just does that. Right. Cause you think of that as being like a pop thing or whatever, or like, you know, you could list off 40 bands. They're just like, yeah, we just do solid rock and roll album. And a lot of those are like, yeah, those are cool bands. I like listening to them every once in a while. But like for death metal, like who else other than Cannibal Corpse is doing that? Right. Because it just,
maybe
there's just like
Obituary.
Yeah. Like I'm sure there are other ones. Like, I mean, even as I say it, like, you know, Meshuga kind of comes to mind a little bit, but they're doing something a little different even, but
Yeah.
You know, it's just sometimes you just that's what you want, and that's where they've kind of slotted in for me. And I think it would be like, I don't think you can leave them off, like leave them out of the conversation for like, if you're thinking of like, what are the, you know, heaviest songs I know, what are the heaviest bands I listen to, it's like you got to get them in there, you know. They know what they fucking know what they're doing over there.
Yeah, it's great. I love that they've had the staying power. Like, there's not a lot of money in death metal, and so for a band to have been around for a really long time, and they keep making music, and they're touring, and they do really well, and they have, like, fans of, you know, everywhere, of all ages, and you know, I bet if you go to, like, a Cannibal Corpse show, you're gonna have a little more diverse crowd than if you went to, you know, a death metal band that's obviously not as well known, like Tomb Mold or something.
I will let you know on Friday.
Hell yeah. Fuck. Now I'm jealous.
And you know, the crazy thing is it's actually, I'm seeing them and Ammon Amarth, and it's like actually at like, it's at a venue that I would expect like Slipknot to play. Was like, it's at a fucking, it's the basketball arena here. And I was like surprised when I was like, wait, Cannibal Corpse and Ammon Amarth are playing that venue? Because I've seen Ammon Amarth before and it's been in like, you know, decent sized venues, but nothing like that. And I'm like, yeah, I gotta go to that. So I'm excited. I've never seen Cannibal Corpse before, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Hell yeah. You'll have to let me know how that goes.
I will. I will.
Next song, my last pick was Extermination Dismemberment by the song is Protonemesis. This is a slam song. I guess to preface, I don't really like slam music. I think a lot of it is terrible. This is a good one, mostly because it stops being a slam song around a minute and 45 and just turns into like more of a deathcore song.
Yep.
But there's just something about like the way this song hits that is fucking insane. It is just, it's cartoonishly heavy. The slam vocals and the slam bit to begin with kind of really set a neat tone, only to be contrasted with like more traditional like death metal and deathcore stuff later on. And then you get kind of like a synth bit at the end. So it just builds and swells into something like almost beautiful and then slams back into just that slam sound again. And I love the structure of it. It's such a cool song.
I agree. I'm not super familiar with slam. So there's this thing that they do in that like first minute and 45 seconds where it's like, there's like that distortion where it almost makes you think your headphones are fucked up. Is that a thing that other slam artists do where it just has like this really blown out sound to it for like 2 or 3 seconds?
Yeah. Are you talking the guitar distortion or the vocals?
It's like the guitar distortion. Yeah. Where it has that like blown, it just sounds blown out.
I mean, some of that's just his voice.
Is it really? Okay.
That like those little kind of noises, well, no, kind of droney.
Not that, but like that I know is like more standard. But like there's a bit like at 46 seconds when there's like a hit of something, and I can't tell like if it's a synth or some percussion thing. And it's like this staticky kind of crinkly sound that the song has for a few seconds there. Yeah,
I wonder if that is it part of the guitar distortion. Like, the thing with most slam music is it's not produced very well. It's very low-budget genre, and, like, well-produced slam tends to be like, what the fuck, why would you produce this well? Like, none of this music needs to be heard coherently, because it's not the point. Right. So, yeah, I think that is kind of, like, naturally part of it is just, it's so weirdly abrasively produced. There's just a caveman element to slam music, where it's just, what if we took the most ignorant stuff from death metal and just played it slower? And dumber. And that is slam.
Yeah. Well, it works because the song kind of walks up to the edge of being I don't know, what's a good word? What's the word I'm looking for here? It's not really like the song. Sure, you know what? Let's go with that. It definitely walks up to that, but then it like kind of lassos itself back into like when it gets up to the edge, it pulls itself back in and that effect is kind of cool because it knows when it seems like it has a sense of like when to stop doing the things that might make it hard to listen to for longer than 90 seconds or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a cool effect that it sort of there's like two or three distinct transitions in here to like where it like starts doing different things. And every single one of them is cool. And it's like one of those things that you think of like, oh, when I'm listening to a prog song that's like 23 minutes long and it changes all the time. And this song does that, like wraps all that shit up in like 4 minutes. It's kind of impressive.
Also, 1.3 million views. Like, for this genre of music, that's fucking crazy.
That is wild. I wouldn't have expected this to like have that level of like exposure. That's kind of wild.
I will say the album it's on, I was unable to finish because not all of the songs I feel like are as well crafted as this one.
Sure.
And so I think I got like 4 or 5 in and I was like, Jesus, why are there 12 and why are so many of them over 4 minutes?
That's a bummer because this song does have some really cool stuff. I mean, it has like this operatic thing coming at the end with violins and there's a chorus, I think, in the background. And I mean, you know me, like one of the first bands we ever like bonded over was Septic Flesh. Like, I love that sort of orchestral stuff. So when that came in, I was like, oh yeah, this is sweet. This is my shit. I also love, it's literally like the first 5 seconds, but that little, like the drum bit that comes in at the beginning, I just heard that and I was like, oh my God, this sounds like fucking Halo 3, man. This is so sick. and then the guitar, it's got like the long guitar note and then everything hits and it's the first, like, I don't know, maybe 15 or 20 seconds distilled are so cool. And it really does do some cool stuff after that, which I always appreciate.
To wrap this up, the last song is your recommendation, Nails, They Come Crawling Back. This is the first time I'd ever listened to this group.
Okay, this is it's an interesting introduction to the group. This is the last track. It's fitting that we did this one last because it's the last track on the 2016 album, I think, You Will Never Be One of Us, which is an 8-track, it's a 10-track album. 9 of the songs are like 90 seconds. And if you just think of like the heaviest parts of this song, they're just like, we just took like 90 seconds of that and just did that. And, you know, I love this album. I love Nails in general. Like this album is great. All 3 of their albums are fantastic. But this is like an 8-minute song and it takes a while to really, you know, get heavy. I would say it's got this sort of extended like distorted guitar intro. But then, you know, it does get heavy sonically. And I feel like one of the things that I really like about this song, and one of the reasons I picked it, is because even those softer moments have this really, like, atmospherically, they're it's still heavy, you know? There's like a sense of dread and anguish sort of permeating through the whole song. Even like when they're not hitting you with the blast beats, which they also hit you with the blast beats, you know, they really do it all. And this is another song that, you know, it is a longer song, but it does also do the sort of transition in the same way as Proto Nemesis, or Proto Nemesis, that is the name of the song. It does transition to it through doing a few different things, which is cool, but it does really just hit you. And it's, if you know, I did think about choosing one of the shorter songs. There were a couple that, like, I think probably would have distilled the essence of the band a little bit better. But I think the way that this one just like gives you those, like, it's just heavy and oppressive for as long as it is, it's such a cool effect, even if it's not like, It does kind of fall into those things where it's like, I don't know if I can listen to all 8 minutes of this all the time, but it is, when you go through all of it, I think it does have a really cool effect.
There's a lot of good musical storytelling to this, and I'm glad it's the last song that on my playlist, because it feels like it caps it off really well with like that big anthemic kind of thing. But because like you said, like the intro of it, it's not particularly heavy, but it's like ominous, and you're like, something kind of fucked up is going to happen. And then when it gets heavy, it's like that release. And you're like, okay, we can finally, you know, we can be calm. I mean, the music's anything but calm, but like emotionally, it's, you know, a release. And
absolutely.
Vocally, it's, you know, very death metal, but also, I mean, there's definitely a lot of hardcore in this song. So like, you know, we've messed with the genre a bit of the playlist. And then it ends on a lot of like instrumental too. And so structurally, it's just a really interesting song that I think it does enough stuff. It changes up enough where you're never bored. You're always paying attention to something because you don't quite know what's going to happen next. It'll chill and then get heavy again. Like it's a really well-crafted song.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my God, you said something that put a thought in my mind and now it's slipped away, but oh no. Yeah. Like the whole time, like there's always some sort of groove or something going on, and it has like just that, like there's, like you said, like there's just always something cool going on with the guitars or with the drums, or there's that bit where there's like those like the like whispered vocalizing, like there's always these like really cool effects, and it just goes through all these different things and really makes for, you know, an 8-minute song that's actually super compelling. Even when mm-hmm. it gets to the bits where like it does like breakdown stuff where it's like, you know, we got a riff and that we're gonna repeat, and we're gonna like do the like slowed down like big drum hits while we play this riff, and then it transitions into doing something different, you know, a couple minutes, a minute or two later, and it's a really cool song.
I liked it. I like this whole playlist. Yeah. I'm glad we did this. This was as fun as I thought it would be, which is to say, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm glad you liked this one. I wasn't sure where. I kind of knew because we've talked about some of the other, you know, we talk about metal a lot, mm-hmm. you and I. So I kind of knew the other two songs that you would at least, you know, I kind of knew where you would enjoy them. I don't know if I would say it's a shot in the dark. Like I thought you would probably like it, but I'm glad you did, because there was in the back of my mind, I was like, I got to be a little careful with nails, because I feel like this could go either way.
Some of the nails can be rusty.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, you know, you should also be very careful when handling nails.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, take that, Jesus.
Oh man, that just reminds me of that horror movie Immaculate with Sydney Sweeney, which has the extremely funny concept of a church in Italy found one of the nails that Jesus was nailed to the cross with, and there was a residue of his blood on it that they're now using to clone him to bring about the second coming of Jesus.
Which is a wild concept for a movie.
It is an awesome concept for a movie. And I guess mild spoiler alert, the movie's been out for a couple months now, but it ends with Sydney Sweeney birthing the second coming of Jesus and then immediately bashing the baby's head in with a rock.
Whoa.
It is a very, you know, death metal ending to a movie. It fucking rocks.
Wow.
Oh. But yeah, I'm glad we did this.
Me too. We are at 53 minutes. I don't know if there's anything else we want to cover, but this is fun. It's fine finally bringing you on the Warrior Chats thing. I know we were on for like the Taylor Swift stuff. I think we were on for something else.
We did the Olivia Rodrigo album.
Yeah, this is a little different than both of those.
It's nice to talk about music that I like a lot more. I mean, you know, I actually came around a little bit on Guts, but God, Midnights, but it's nice to talk about metal, you know. I feel like a lot of the time when we talk about music, we're doing the Taylor Swift thing, so
mm-hmm.
you know, and we could talk about the Tortured Poets Department, but I'm just not sure there's all that much there to talk about.
I don't really want to listen to it again. Like
I don't either.
I would rather listen to Midnights again and just like skip past the songs that are kind of bad.
Yeah, it's weird because with Midnights, at least I came away and there's like a couple songs that I feel positively about, and I finished listening to the Tortured Poets Department, and I was just like, man, all this shit sucks. You can go listen to Cattle Decapitation.
Yeah.
Got better shit to listen to. So, yeah, I'm glad we were able to do this. It's a lot of fun.
Is there anything you want to plug? I don't know. I know like the GladSpace thing is kind of the thing we do on the show, but I also don't really enforce it with the whatever the fuck this is, but we can if you want.
Well, yeah, I don't know if I see. I didn't come prepared is the problem. But I can try to think of something.
I can do one real quick while you think. Go for it. Friday I went to a bar called The Crow. and they have a really nice bourbon selection. So I broke out the rule of Sober April and had a little Colonel Taylor because I really like that one. And then I'm looking at the shelf and I'm like, hey, you got two bottles of Angel's Envy. What's the second one? And the guy's like, oh, it's their rye. And I was like, I've never had their rye. I would like to try their rye. So I buy a pour of that. And wow, Angel's Envy rye, everybody. If you find that in a liquor store for, I would say on sale, definitely pick that up. It's really, really good. Like, it's got such a brown sugar taste to it. Like, it's like brown sugar and vanilla and pepper, just like in that order. And it's decently balanced. It's definitely sweet, but it's decently balanced. It's just... what a remarkable kind of sipping whiskey. So really, really enjoyed that.
Because this does sound really good. I want to look out for this.
Angel's Envy is the brand, and then they're Angel's Envy.
Okay. I wonder if I can find that nearby. We'll see.
I would look for it in a bar first because it's like a $80 bottle.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
So it'll be cheaper to try.
There is a whiskey bar near me that I haven't actually gone to, but I keep meaning to every time I walk by it. Because it's near my comic book store, so I walk by it fairly frequently, and every time I walk by it, I think I should go in there and try something, but I have yet to actually do that. So
you should, but you're in a big city, and you should also be prepared to
pay a little bit
for some of those.
I've been sick, so I haven't really been like out and about doing a whole lot, but. I did go see a week ago. It's been a week or so now, but I did go see, kind of on a whim, a Korean movie called Exuma that was playing near me. Wasn't even playing at like a theater that I have a subscription for. I just was like, I should go see this. This looks cool. It's a Korean horror movie about these like sort of paranormal investigators who exhume corpses that have like cursed families, and a lot of it is like they sort of set it up at the beginning. It's like a lot of it is like this very simple stuff, like, you know, someone has a toothache or whatever, or, you know, they're getting like night terrors of their dead grandma, and it's like, oh well, that's because, you know, he took a medallion from his grandma's grave that he wasn't supposed to before she was buried. But then they come upon this like they come upon this case where there's this grave that's like buried out in the middle of the woods, and it's like it wasn't supposed to be there, and they exhume it, and a bunch of horrible shit happens.
Yay.
And then they, you know, there was another grave buried below it, and more horrible shit happens. There's like this 8-foot tall samurai ghost that goes around murdering people. The point is it's fucking sick. And I would highly recommend it to people. I don't know if it'll be playing near anybody anymore, but I hope it gets a digital release at some point this year, at least, because I think there's a lot of people who would get a kick out of it, and it's a blast. It's really good and scary in good ways. So I had a great time. Nice. With that.
Well, I don't know if there's anything you want to plug, because I know you have other shows you do. Otherwise we can call this a day.
You can listen to Crying in the Book Club. It's a podcast about comic books that I do with Emily and our friend Alex. Chad was on it recently.
Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, that was a good time. That was a good show. We talked about some gay furry manga. We're going to be talking about Runaways in the next couple of weeks. So if you want to listen to that, you can check it out. It's at Crying Book Club on Twitter. You follow my letterbox. I don't know. I don't really plug stuff anymore because I don't really want people to find my social media presence. But you can listen to my podcast. You should listen to my podcast, but do not try to follow me on Twitter because I will not accept your follow request.
But alrighty, this was
better safe than sorry.
Yeah,
it was. I'm glad we did this.
Listen to death metal, everybody. It'll make you feel better.
Hell yeah.
I'm just gonna end there. Goodbye.